Hi, I'm Vivian Aqua, and this is Humanizing the Workplace. So welcome to Humanizing the Workplace, where I'm going to talk about navigating change and how coaching can enhance leadership in complex environments. And I'm waiting on my guest speaker to show up. But in the meantime, I want to introduce myself, and in the meantime, so that I can hope that he will come up. So my name is Vivian Aqua. I'm a certified DEI consultant, and I support organizations with creating inclusive environments. So crafting your own DEI recipe or seducing people with food so that they can better embrace DEI. But also I'm the creator of the Amplify DEI cards, which the Dutch version is coming out really soon. So for the people who are watching who are based in the Netherlands and also looking for the Dutch version, know that the team version will be shared in Dutch as well. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with my guest speaker. But in the meantime, I'm curious who is here, who is online, so that we can have a conversation. And my guest speaker is online, so I am going to see if he's ready, but I'm really excited to have this conversation. So first let me do an introduction.
Hello, you. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're live, by the way. So
we are live. Okay. Hello, live people.
Nice. So doing a quick introduction of today. So today's session is about how leaders can navigate through this dynamic world and in challenging environments. And I'm going to have a conversation with Zoran, who is a, who is a master certified coach and facilitator. Zoran is a coaching and training professional who works with global organizations. He also consistently adds to the process when he trains coaches and coaches senior executives, helping them to maximize and create their executive presence to leadership. So hi, Zoran.
Hey, lovely to be with you. So lovely to be together today.
Yes, I'm excited as well. Let's start with the first question, right? So why do you believe that we need to humanize the workplace now than ever?
Oh, that's a very wonderful and complex question. Mm-hmm. I think that we are facing a deeper transformation of humanity right now. I think that when people look into the geopolitical situation, when they look into the state of the world, when they look into the state of the politics, the state of the government, and everything that is going on the planet right now in the news, so to say, we are just realizing that human-centric approach or being able to create the organization when people can be themselves, when people can express their values, when their voices can be heard, when people can feel connected within the organization, can improve this productivity, can create a culture of compassion and authenticity, can create humanized workplaces when we can unlock the creativity, innovation, and resilience that is absolutely necessary for all of us right now to lead, for all of us right now to co-create the organizations that we want to, that can carry out this transformation into the future. So I feel that more people are engaged, the more people find the meaning in their work, the more people can drive sustainable growth and transformation. And also we have the AI, which is impacting the work environment a lot, which through digitalization of everything. And within that, we need to find the balance, because if you go all the way into the digitalization and we use AI explicitly for everything that we do, we're going to use our humanity. And that means that we also need to humanize our approaches to maintain that balance between technology and spirituality, between technology and mindfulness, between technology and awareness. So there is a lot of reasons, as I said, Vivian, for us to be able to, you know, maintain this.
Yes, and I want to tap into a word that you said, co-create, because oftentimes people feel like it's upon the leaders only to create that environment, create that humanization. Can we dive a little bit deeper into what, can you add some more context into what you mean with co-creating and how does it fit in your vision?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've kind of begun using this term called being a leader full in my training and facilitation. That term, Vivian, came naturally. Suddenly we were in a workshop. I was talking to people. You were exactly talking about that topic. You know, the leader should take all the responsibility. They should be a true North Star. They know how to lead forward. And this term leaderful came through, and leaderful means that we do need to take responsibility for our own leadership. So in our life, we lead our families, in our life, we lead our marriages, in our life, we lead our community. Same thing happens in the workplace. When we come to the workplace, we need to take responsibility of leading ourselves to begin with, which is what we do as coaches, help people understand how to lead themselves. Then we need to know how to lead our colleagues through collaboration and teamwork. And then also we need to learn how to lead business, which is through our KPIs, through our strategy, and so on and so forth. So becoming leaderful means that you seeing yourself as a leader of your life and your work, that you're not only dependent on somebody else to lead you to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, but you're taking a little bit more ownership. And I've seen when people take a little bit more ownership around that, they feel good. It feels good. This is a good feeling. It's not like, oh my God, this is a burden. It's responsibility. It's too much. Actually, it unlocks the power. And that's why I think through this collaboration and co-creation, when I would take part of my leaderfulness, express my leadership, you will take part of it. Then we can co-create and it becomes easier. And this is what all the leaders are looking for when it comes to delegation, empowerment, and responsibility and ownership. And then the organization becomes much more vital and vibrant.
Definitely. And also I see while you were talking, I was immediately thinking like you're modernizing self-leadership, because that's how I often refer it to. Oftentimes when people read the word leadership, even though they don't have it in their title or in the function, they don't feel connected to that word. So you framing as leaderful, or I framing it as leadership, that's how we need to activate the people themselves. And I'm also curious because to give a little bit more context, I met Zoran while he PM'd me, and this was about, you know, a great way to collaborate. Unfortunately, there's still collaboration in the air, but I'm curious about who you are and why you became that coach, because we met just recently via LinkedIn, and that's where the conversations got started.
So my journey in coaching really kind of came out of the passion for love of humanity. You know, the authentic story is that I was working in an organization and corporate job, and my emphasis, even that at very young age, was people. And I remember sitting with my managers at that time who were giving me KPIs, productivity, and I kept on saying to them, but you know, yeah, this is all good, but you know, people are going to deliver on those KPIs, people are going to deliver on that. But I saw that all of my leaders at that time, they did not place too much attention to the personal development and personal growth. And they didn't understand that in the essence, if we are able to elevate people in their workplace, if we're able to get them to really express themselves, if we invest in them, you know, give them opportunity, development, understanding, consciousness, then the organization creates results. So it's not about result in itself, it's about people. So that was the kind of beginning of my kind of coaching journey. And then I was really lucky enough to very quickly get trained as a coach. I was one of the younger coaches, or youngest MCC, Master Certified Coach in Europe. And then I began pioneering this profession throughout the Europe in the last 20, 30 years, because at that time I was really passionate about bringing that into the workplace, bringing that foundation of empowerment, foundation of sustainability, and foundation of this beautiful notion that coaching has that I really love deeply, which is that we all have the solution to our challenges within ourselves. Once when you are able to have a conversation that we call coaching conversation with somebody who is listening to you, who is empathizing, who is able to reflect back to you, who is able to challenge you, then I can unlock the solutions of my own life or my own business within me. And I love that. I think this is the bottom line for me. This is why I was so in love with coaching. Instead of advising, guiding, mentoring, and all of those professions are important and necessary, including consulting as well, when you have a knowledge transfer. But I think coaching does something special, because in the coaching conversation, you unlock that magic from within. And I sat on a number of coaching conversations, and people have this moments, they're like, oh wow, I get it now. I get it why I'm behaving like that. Or I get why I'm stuck. Right?
And also you're tapping into their intrinsic motivation, right? When the moment that they find a way to anchor something that lays within, and also for them to be able to find their strength and know how to minimize the things that are not energizing them, right? I truly believe in that as well. I wanted to bring up something that I discussed last month, and I know I'm going to surprise you, but you mentioned the word invest. And I want to bring up this slide where... Wow. This is a slide about the average budget that leaders are now getting. It's a huge decline. Last year, it was $1,247. This year, it's $316. When you talk about leaders, when you talk about organization, and as a leader investing in professional and personal development, what's your opinion regarding this budget?
So they're not making, they're not creating enough money for people to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said, you know, I would challenge that a lot. You know, I would be in a budgetary conversation with my clients and I would challenge that. And I think that sometimes we need to manage up instead of just managing down. Yeah. And managing up means that when you see this, and if you're an HR professional, a leadership development professional, even the manager or leader who says, oh my God, I have only 316, you know, dollars for me to, you know, invest in my people, I would challenge that. Because as I said at the beginning of opening statement, if you don't, your business will struggle. Yeah. And I remember this because I'm young enough and old enough. I've been in this profession for some time. I remember when the previous crisis in 2008, and we had the same conversation, and I remember the organization who listened to this inside of themselves. They actually invested more, not less, right? Yeah. They were saying now is the time for us to actually press button on people because our people need to be motivated, they need to be inclusive, they need to be engaged, they need to be, you know, feeling well, you know, they need to be feeling emotionally well to be able to perform. Let's go for it. The organizations were like, I had three clients who actually increased their profit line for 200% just as a result of doing that.
Yeah.
And I had other clients who were in scarcity mentality and they were like, cut, 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 budget cut. And then the performance goes down. So I think that, you know, I would challenge that. I know that it's not easy to ask for leaders to do. You know, I know this is something that you have to stick your neck a little bit higher and have courage to do, because in big systems, sometimes we just receive the budgets and we just go for it. You know, we don't really challenge, but I would inspire you with the notion of challenge.
It also brings me to the next question. What are, you mentioned a few challenges that leaders are facing, but what are the primary challenges that leaders encounter, especially now in this day and age where you mentioned digitalization is also can become a huge benefit, but also a threat? But also, how does coaching help them to become the leader that you can see that they are?
Yeah. So let's first go with the challenges. I mean, the challenges of complexity. I think that the business world got really, really complex suddenly. And a lot of the people that I'm sitting in the workshop with, as well as you, Vivian, and coach, there is this complexity. Then we have ambiguity, not knowing. Ambiguity, not knowing, it's a very challenging condition for human beings, because we as a human, we love predictable, we like comfortable, we love to know, we love to plan. And then suddenly, especially through COVID, after COVID, even now with, you know, conflicts happening around the world, we're not knowing all the time. So people feel naturally out of their comfort zones, right? They feel like, wow, you know, how can I make a decision when I don't know what will happen in 3 months' time? And a lot of the people who are linear thinker, they need to see the consistent timeline to make decisions and choices, and then they feel empowered. So complexity, ambiguity, difficulties to make decisions and choices, really, really kind of prominent. Resistance to change, you know, like people not really willing to carry out this change curve and they're resisting. Diversity, it's this inclusion and diversity that we talk about, you know, really doing it. You know, I know that you're passionate about this topic and you're expert in this, but for me, this is not about language, long embodiment of this. It's about the organization does it, they really do it, they don't, they walk their talk. They're not just saying, oh, let's hear other people's opinions, so let's diversify the workplace, let's get somebody who's very quiet to give us recommendation about what we need to do instead of talkative people taking over, you know what I mean? So the challenge of really embodying diversity in order for this to be carried out, this challenge and transformation that we have. I so overwhelmed mental health issues, you know, I think that a lot of people in organization, they put their brave face because they have families to support, they have mortgages to pay, they have taxes to pay, they get up in the morning, they exercise, they drink coffee, or they go to gym, they put up the brave face and they go into the work day, but there is a big space of overwhelm. You know, people are tired, you know, they're mentally exhausted. And also, I think that AI, you know, it's so much information streaming away, you know, that we're not able to process. You know, like I know people who come and like, oh, I mean, I'm even younger people, like in their 20s. I'm not talking about people in their 50s and 60s who are seniors. People in 20s with a fresh, open mind, challenges to process. So there is a lot, you know. So those are some of the most important challenges that I'm seeing. And then you ask, how can coaching support balance? Balance number one, finding your balance. I think people in organizational development are not seeing the importance of balance. You know, I have this young executive who is so sweet and funny the other day on the call, and he says, oh, where are you? I'm now in Greece, and tomorrow I'm in Bali, and then I'm in Tokyo. And
I'm already thinking about that, and my mind goes into that's a lot to consume with all the traveling as well. Traveling takes energy, takes time, and for you to recharge your batteries. I mean, I'm currently still going through a social hangover from being in Paris and London and all other places that I can hardly imagine somebody being in so many places within a short amount of time.
That's what I mean. And he was saying, isn't my life amazing? Look at me, I'm a digital nomad. I'm all over the place. I'm like, my life is in my pocket and my business in my pocket. And I said, yes, absolutely. And where is your balance? How do you really feel, right? Do you feel any fatigue? Do you feel any, you're connected to your emotion, Vivian, so you can feel yourself, right? Because you're grounded and you do personal work and you can say, well, you know, I feel a little bit hangover about all my traveling. It doesn't even compute that. So I think balance is very important for all of us. Rebalancing, digital detox, super important for executives, leaders. You know, I play this game always in my workshops when I take the phones away from people and I see how they freak out. They're like, oh my God, oh my God. You know what I mean?
I can imagine, because I have that same thing with my son.
Exactly. Digital detox, you know what I mean? Rebalancing yourself, you know, not being on a device a little bit, being in the nature, being with a dog, being with your loved ones, you know, connection, intimacy that we have as human beings. So that's also super important for all of us to do. You know, being able to have critical thinking. I think that where we are in coaching, especially leadership development coaching, executive coaching, leadership development, is to get people to have enough space to think.
I love that
one. To hear themselves thinking, right? To hear themselves expressing. And then for them to be in a silence, to be able to make conclusions and decisions, because it's fast. We don't think, we just make decisions. So that critical thinking, critical discernment, it's a lot of things that you can offer. Right?
I wanna insert a comment from Sean. I hope that I'm pronouncing your name right. And if not, please let me know. So he's saying, exciting session, humanizing leadership in today's business world is definitely crucial. And I want to bring it back to another question, because you mentioned transformational leadership, which is definitely a hook to my next question. What are the fundamental differences between transactional and transformational leadership? And how can they impact team dynamics?
Yeah, you know, the transactional leadership is the leadership that is focused on efficiency. You know, like, you know, primary benefit of this is efficiency, effectiveness. And unfortunately, Vivian, we are hooked onto it. We love being efficient. We love accomplishing a lot of things in no time. We love empowering leaders with the skills and tools and models and competencies so that they can be transactionally better and much more efficient and achieve more. In my life, I don't know how it is in Vivian, in your life or in my life of the people that I coach, the more I do, the more I get. It's unbelievable. I can, and nowadays, if I accomplish my work day and I stay on my computer, I will get another notification, another email, another things, another idea. So I can then end up working forever.
It comes back to the balance, right? What you just mentioned right now. It comes back to the balance effort,
Of course. So this transactional leadership, if I'm equipped only with the training that I require to be able to be efficient, to be able to produce, to be able to deliver on my KPIs, that can go up to a certain level. Transformational leadership, a transformational training, it's about investing in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind, in somebody's soft development, when they really begin understanding what are their strengths, who are they, what are their weaknesses, how they lead, how they motivate themselves, what inspires them, what is their true heart desire, why do they do what they do, what is their purpose, what is their mission, what are their values. There's so much wealth of beauty in a transformational space when you actually learn how to get to know yourself, to be able to transform and evolve yourself to the next version of who you really are, to be able to carry out your results with least effort, with less energy, and with mindfulness, right? Yeah. And presence and balance. Mm-hmm. So for me, the transformational element of leadership development, coaching, and training is super important for all of us, you know, to be able to sustain ourselves.
I see it as a way when I look into transformational leadership, that leaders are able to co-create a recipe. And in this case, I'll call it the inclusion recipe for their team, right? Finding out who their people are, what ingredients do they have in house, so that together you can co-create and create a delicious dish mm-hmm. where you can amplify your goals, your business goals or your team goals, but also can amplify the professional and personal development as well, instead of it being transactional where you are cooking somebody else's recipe and not creating your own recipe, right? So I love that of what you are sharing when it comes to transformational leadership. I can see a difference in your body language when you talk about those two differences, as in transformational, yeah. it being more than just working as a leader or just working with people, but bringing out the best in people. So absolutely. I wanna talk about, can you maybe share, you shared some, but can you maybe share specific examples where coaching has improved employee engagement within an organization?
Mm-hmm. Coaching really does that in the most beautiful way. The employee engagement really grows when it comes to the coaching, because simply when you coach people on an individual level, when we coach people on a group level, when we coach people on a team level, when we coach people on an organizational level, mm-hmm. we get them into the space of more ownership.
Yeah.
Once we all want to be recognized and valued, yeah. the need to be valued for your work, the need to be recognized for your efforts, the need to be appreciated, not only through the compensation and financial transaction between the organization and you, but for your brain, for your mind, for your presence, for who you are, not what you do, who you are mm-hmm. in the organization as a human being, with values, with drive, with creativity. Coaching validates that, right? So when mm-hmm. you coach somebody, you give them the permission to come up with the solutions to their challenges, to brainstorm the opportunities of improvement, to create innovation in their thinking, to have enough time and space on individual level, team level, group level, organizational level, to step into that space of collaboration and co-creation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. when that happens, I feel recognized. I feel valued. I feel that my purpose of being, giving my time and energy to the organization, it's actually on the money. It's actually mm-hmm. there. And then that just impacts the organizational performance rapidly, because I would naturally do and be much more than is expected from me. And I would overexceed my expectations, so to say, the KPIs, the project milestones. I would do it with ease and grace, simply because the measurement of my joyfulness or my engagement of my energy improves. So that's one big thing. The other big thing when it comes to coaching, it's creating, again, I'm going to go back to balance, because I think it's an important word for today's world.
Mm-hmm.
The balance between your emotional state, between your physical well-being, between your mental well-being, between your spiritual well-being. Nowadays in organization, we have to have those intelligences. We have to balance our mind cognitively. And as you and I said, digital detox, the amount of information that we are inhaling on a daily basis, our mind needs to be decluttered, because it's mm-hmm. simply too much. Emotionally, we all still process emotions in different ways. Some people are more skillful to be able to spot the frustration or disappointment or excitement or resentment in the workplace and process it. If not, they bottle in. So emotional well-being coaching really coaches well, because sometimes in the coaching conversation, people have the confidence or the psychological safety to express, right? To really say, listen, I mean, you know, I'm really struggling. You know, I'm pretending to have a brave face, but I'm really struggling with this job. You know, I feel imposter syndrome. I don't know enough, or I'm struggling with my boss, or it's too much. So, you know, emotionally, people need to process. So that's another thing. Physically, I don't know what to say about that besides eating, sleeping, exercising, moving, not sitting in front of a computer, becoming a corporate athlete, not corporate exhausted human being. You know, like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. You know, like drinking water. You know, at least nowadays we have this available. You know, nowadays that the culture of taking care of itself, it's really important. The physical intelligence and then spiritual, you know, I don't know how we deep can go inside of it, but coaching really offers that connection to meaning and purpose. And I see that people, when they connect in coaching to the meaning, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? What is my contribution in this organization? How is this linked to my purpose of my life? Then people feel sense of inspiration, that balancing between our cognitive mind, our emotional mind, our physical energy, our emotional, our spiritual energy. It's very important. And coaching offers that. Coaching offers that for people to then get wings and fly.
I want to tap into a different topic where I do believe that as a leader, you need to have a powerful voice, or at least an authentic voice, where you can inspire people, can empower people, you can activate people, right? But oftentimes I've heard from my clients and also from articles that I've seen is that people don't find their leaders authentic enough, or leaders are doubting their authenticity, right? So can you share some practical techniques using coaching to enhance authenticity, and why is it effective?
Okay, so let's kind of go with why and then we do the practice.
Yeah.
If my definition of authenticity, Vivian, just for the audience and everybody who's listening, it's our ability to be in alignment. And alignment is what I think, how I feel, and how I act is in alignment. So I cannot just think one thought, have another feeling, and then have another action. Then I'm inauthentic. And a lot of us, I've done it in my life, in especially in my early business career. You know, somebody asked me something and I would say yes, 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 but I would feel this is ridiculous and very stupid, but I would still laugh. And I say, yeah, of course, absolutely, we'll do that in the way you want us to do it. And I would do something completely different, right? So I would be inauthentic. And that is, for a lot of people, what we don't understand, when we're out of authenticity, we use a lot of energy, because to maintain inauthenticity requires energy, right? Because you're not truthful to yourself. So to say, it's like being in relationship, you know, when you're not truthful to yourself within the relationship, it requires a lot of energy. We consume a lot of energy. And nowadays we have evolved enough, I think, in our work environment, in our workplace, when we can be a little bit more authentic. I don't know that we can be 100% authentic, but we can be more authentic, especially in certain countries. And I would say in the Western world, when people feel a little bit more secure and safe to be 100% themselves. So if you're not, you know, your job is to find your way into authenticity. So what do you think? How do you feel? And how do you act in alignment? So if you're thinking in a sitting in a meeting and you're a quiet person, and there is a team meeting and somebody shares something that you disagree with, you know, so what That's would your point. Authentic self do, right? What would you do? Would you just sit quietly and listen? Would you pretend and note and think this is a great idea? Or would you capitalize on the beauty of the diversity and say, hold on a second, you know, I honor what you shared right now, and I have something to add, and I have a different perspective. And the key word here is I have a different perspective. I have a different take on it. I see it from a different point of view. I have a different angle on this. And I'm going to give myself permission to share it without feeling gaslighted or secured or, you know, whatever happens in this unspoken hierarchy.
Yeah, you hit the nail with all these emotions. And even if there is space for the other person to talk, oftentimes people don't feel psychologically safe enough to share what they want to share in this domain, right? So please continue.
Yeah. So you need to be courageous enough if you're in that situation to give yourself permission. If there is no permission, then you need to create an environment when you can be 100% yourself by saying to people in your team or managers that they need to increase the level of psychological safety so everybody can share. You know, and how can you do this? It's by addressing it, the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. There's something like this, by addressing what it is in the room and saying you need more psychological safety. So that's the first thing. How do you practice that? Is challenging yourself to own your voice, right? Yeah. Challenging yourself to really, really own your voice, to be somebody who takes small steps. You know, sometimes I coach people who are a little bit more insecure and people who are a little bit more, I would say, have lack of confidence to take a tiny step. Yeah, the first tiny step, or next thing you need to do is that one sharing. It doesn't need to be the full-on display, but one step. And then another step, and then another step, and another step, until people see, oh, look, Mary has changed. Suddenly, Mary is not quiet any longer. You know, Mary actually has something valuable to share. Look at that. Oh, my God. So you need to train the environment, because sometimes the environment has an expectation based on their projection. So if Mary is quiet all the time, they will keep her in a quiet chair, so to say. Mm-hmm. So when you begin speaking out or being more authentic, it requires a little bit of time. You need to be aware of the process, and you need to be aware that you're re-educating people. And you can even say, you know, I got Mary in my life that I coach. I've decided to be outspoken in my team meetings. I was quiet for a very long time, so I'm practicing this new skill when I can share more, you know. So I want to inform everybody that I'm going to be there. Can you please support me with that and give me more
clarity,
for example?
Exactly.
Right? So it's about you taking responsibility to step up and communicate authentically. You taking choice. If you don't feel psychologically safe, communicating that you don't and making sure that you do in the future. And then you taking responsibility to re-educate the environment, because don't expect that people will change immediately. You know, like you begin speaking out and sharing your authentic self and people suddenly, you know, they will keep you within certain frame for some time until the moment comes when they can see the change. Well, so
I love what you share, and also to give to share a personal story about myself or a personal anecdote. People often think, because when they see me, they see my hair and they see maybe my outfit, my African outfit or so, that they think I'm an extrovert. I'm not. I am, outside of, you know, standing on stage or doing speaking engagement, I'm an introvert. So in the beginning, I had to show up. And I had to use my voice, even though I cringed in the beginning every time when I heard my voice. It was a challenging thing to hear or a challenging thing to do. But eventually now I've reached a point where I'm okay. Give me the mic or call me or set me on a podium or virtual call. I'm ready. So it takes practice. It takes training. And I love the fact that you are sharing also that having that support, some accountability by sharing it openly, like, I'm going to try something new. I need your support, but this is what I'm going to do. And I want to contribute in this team as well. So I appreciate that, Zoran.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm coming to not the final question, but almost the final question. So one pre-final question. Because this one I asked. Other one.
Coaching to enhance. We did that as well.
I think I've asked the majority of them and all. What is a question that you would like to ask me? What is a question that you would like to ask me? Yeah,
absolutely. So what is your take? You know, like, how do you see this workplace being humanized in the future from your lens, from your perspective? Like, if you think now we are in 2024 and going through the timeline in the next few years, and both you and I, we have a topic of conversation when we know that we need to humanize, you know, this space. How do you see that from your point of view? What needs to happen for this to be able to be in existence?
Well, I'll start with what I'm seeing going wrong is that many companies or many leaders are forcing people to come back to the workplace, realizing, not only knowing that for some people working from home or having that flexibility is a must-have. So if your company is not offering that, we are dealing with a situation, there are more jobs, less people, and people are also getting older. So people are resigning from their workplace because they are aging, right? They are going to take their pension. And now you're dealing with all these different generations who are inspired by the younger generation that we need to stand for our purpose. We need to chase for our purpose. So this is a message for companies for the future. If you want to attract people and retain, because oftentimes the mistake is being made, like once we attract them, we're done, but also retain, listen to your people and find out what works for them, right? So in the beginning, Zoran, you mentioned, you were talking about as a leader, it's important to know what the ingredients are of your people so that you can create your own, you know, team recipe when it comes to that. When we know more about our people, we can also create these puzzle pieces together, when we can create a beautiful image, a beautiful company, a beautiful department with big revenues and great things. Because if you're not doing that, your competitor will, and your people will go to the competitor who does, or your people will work independently as well, right? So we need to make sure that we create an environment where we honor inclusion at the heart. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, I believe that too. And I love that we honor the inclusion. And I'm so happy that you mentioned that the flexibility of hybrid working environment, I think it's so important to give that sense of freedom as well. It's your choice, right? Yeah. And also, again, the rebalancing with the family, with the young family, with the old family, taking care of elderly people. There's so much that we can do in a hybrid working space, just being able to spend and share the same space with everybody else. I'm so happy you shared that. Wonderful.
Yeah, and also it's about a new way of working. The traditional way of working, especially the way we did things before Corona, it's gone. And sometimes I get the feeling when I see news articles about, you know, let's bring everybody into the office. The offices are not, let's say not, the offices are not made for high performance for everybody. And the reason why I'm saying that is there are people in the workplace who don't know they're a neurodivergent. I was one of them. There are people in the workplace that are dealing with a big office environment, an office garden where 150 people are working in one room. And I'm just like, no, this is not the way to go. I mean, some companies are offering people noise canceling headphones. That's a solution. It's not the ideal solution, but it's a solution to take care of that. But I feel suffocated when I'm sitting in a room with 100 people and everybody's talking and somebody's shouting, right? So we need to take better care of our people and offer that flexibility where some of the people can work home so that you can utilize the space for the performance that is needed, a balanced performance, a sustainable performance, instead of only achieving for the high performance at cost of who?
Exactly. Oh, I love that question. Cost of who? And sustaining the performance, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm like you, you know, like very early on, as I said, when I worked in my corporate career, I actually wanted to work from home. I never wanted to work from office. For me, it was the same thing. I felt more creative, more productive, more inspired. Yeah. I wanted to dip in and come into the office. Yeah. I wanted to show up. I wanted to have conversation, but not all the time.
Yeah. Well, it brings me back to, I'm going to show another slide. And I think that you will understand this because this is a slide from Gallup, where Gallup is talking about the employee engagement, where the global engagement, 23% of the people are thriving. And that's globally. When it comes to Europe, it's more depressing, as in 13% of the people are not thriving. So the rest of the people are either quiet quitting. That means that they are just sitting at the desk doing the minimum that needs to be done. And then they go home. And other people are, energy is infectious, right? So when people, those who are sitting loud quitting, quiet quitting, when they tap into those who are thriving, they can affect the other people. They can affect their energy as well. What would you like to say about this this slide?
It's not surprising to me, honestly, you know, and this is what I would say, Vivian, that my definition that is crisis in meaning. I think that the additional thing that we can cover sometimes in the future in this conversation is like, what is the meaning of my existence? Not only to that, but what is the meaning of my work?
Yeah.
And I think that people who are quiet quitting, they're actually not connected to the purpose. They don't know that why they're doing what they're doing. Besides, oh, I have family, I need to support, I need to have financial well-being, I need to create abundance. So I think that people who are driving for me, they're really, 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 really in that space of becoming awakened into my contribution and connecting to something bigger. I think that it's not enough also in organization just to say we produce shoes, but why do we produce shoes? What kind of material we make shoes? Or is it sustainable? Can we track it down? Can we map it back to the original producer? Do we misuse the production in some kind of country? Do we produce ethically? So we kind of become more conscious. And I think all of those things that we need to take into consideration, of course, they would then create this high performance team and more engagement, so to say.
I love every word that you shared. And it makes me come to the last question. I know that we are almost tapping into 2025, but I still want to make this conversation about 2030. What do you see for the future when it comes to humanizing the workplace and corporate coaching?
I really believe that the more we give, you know, coaching to others, the more we make it democratic, the more we make it something that everybody can tap into. And actually, by the way, through AI, we can do this right now. We can open up.
Let me share some context. I don't believe in using AI as your first encounter for coaching. Yeah. That's what I mean.
I agree with you. I don't believe that using your AI can be your first encounter of coaching. I think we still need human coaches to set the contents to understand everything. What I'm saying is that let's forget about AI. Technology in general can help us democratize the coaching simply because of the cost, simply because we can create the platforms that can offer coaching and leadership development at scale. And I think the more we do that, this development, remember the first graph that you showed, and this is just a little budget, you know, remaining right now, $312 per person. The more we can democratize the development, the more human-centric, compassionate, empathic inclusion happens in the workplace with the core values, right? So the way I see it, you know, for me, it would be good for us to use technology in the way that can serve individual, not using it in the way that will take away from the individual, but how can we use that to be able to offer more for less? And when we can offer more for less, then I think that we need to have this tipping effect when people can really get into the human-centric organizations, so they feel really well and they thrive, and they are linked to their purpose, and they can embody the DNA organization, and they can support holistic way forward. Because what I love as well, Vivian, and when it comes to terminology, it's sustainable, holistic growth.
Yes,
you know, that they include holistically everything that we need to include instead of just, you know, defragmentated. So this holistic approach, I hope, will happen by 2030.
I love that. Thank you for being a guest speaker for today. And for those of you who don't know Zoran yet, please connect with him. You can find him through LinkedIn, and I'll definitely add a link in the notes as well. And reach out to him. I hope that we inspired you with this conversation. And please, I know that this time of the year, we're doing a budget round, right? I was in finance. Let's pump up, increase the budget. And if the budgets aren't there, like Zoran said, challenge it. Challenge your budget as well. So thank you all. And until next time, bye, everybody.
Bye.